What's going on with Mike's podcast? Somebody said a good broadcaster always listens to the person who he interviews. And that person was Ron Burgundy. I just got through listening to his grand finale of his first podcast ever, and he seems to be doing pretty good on iHeartRadio. And I wonder if he listens to me. There's a couple of people out there that it seems like every time I do a podcast and I say something, it's likely that a couple of other people that I, well, now Ron Burgundy, but another guy, actually, and I don't troll or anything like that, but this other, I ain't going to say his name, but I just click like on some things that he posts on Twitter. I haven't even looked for him on Facebook. I haven't looked for anybody on Facebook for a long time, actually. Whoever I have on my like list, celebrities and whatnot, radio shows, pretty much have it all dialed in now. I have enough resources out there. And that's the name of broadcasting and now podcasting, is to have resources. And something I've been thinking about is a lot of people, they say never reveal your sources, but whenever I quote something, the purpose of quoting that people don't realize is you read something and it's like, wow, I've been having those same thoughts. I should have wrote that down. Or maybe I said that, and all of a sudden Smith Wigglesworth or Abraham Lincoln or somebody said the same thing that you're coming up with. So the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, everything under the sun, nothing is new under the sun. And that includes a lot of things that people say. If you're thinking it, chances are that somebody else already said it. In fact, some famous person even said that. I can't recall who. But what's going on with my podcast? I've been so discouraged lately. Off and on, off and on. I feel like I'm being tossed to and fro on a wave. Ever since 2015, October, when I lost my job of 7 years, and I've been going through one job to another, and just this last one, I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm so discouraged. Nothing lasts. It might last a month, or 4 months, 5 months, maybe 12 months. 12 is actually the first temp job that I've had in decades, a couple years ago. So in September of 17, or 18, 17 actually, till October of 18, this last sort of steady job. And not to talk about all my jobs, but God has been, I just realized today, and I've been realized a couple other times, everything I've done in the past few years has been awesome. I delivered hay for a whole summer, a whole big old flatbed truck full of hay, stacks like 8 feet high, 25, 20, 30 feet long, and a flatbed truck. And I'm like, there's no way I could unload one of those by myself. And after 3 weeks, I was unloading those things by myself, and it was just a real nice workout. So that's, you guys might think I'm weird, but that was a dream job, but only for a month, 3 months. And I had to find something else after that one, because things weren't going too well on the yard, so to speak, with the lift equipment. We were lifting bales by hay. hill bays by hand on the truck because of the squeeze, they call it. It's too flat steel arms. You come into the hay, and on the right and left side, with a squeeze, and squeeze it in, and it picks them up. It's pretty neat. It's just like two arms squeezing something, and you pick it up, put it on the truck. But to do something like that by hand, like old school, is madness. The places that we have to drive to for miles, several loads a day. And that was real neat. I got to learn a lot of driving skills and areas in San Diego that I never knew of. So I pretty much know all of San Diego County by the back of my hands now. So that was pretty neat. Then I worked for a company called TaylorMade after that for 12 months. TaylorMade Golf. Awesome. I have a couple of stickers that even has Mar-a-Lago, whatever President Trump's resort is. He's got them in New Jersey, Florida, California. And just for a memento, an address label with his name in it on it. It's pretty neat. That was awesome. And I even got some golf clubs out of it, but I can't afford to play golf. But I've got some clubs. And that was pretty neat. So after that, what did I do? I got a job with a contractor that is a supplier for military bases in the United States. And the commissaries, household items, kitchenware, washers, dryers, appliances, food, everything. They were awarded after another company couldn't provide what they promised. So the company I worked for was awarded a contract from FEMA to supply 25 by 20 blue tarps for homes. So we processed them, and FEMA was always telling us how great of a job we're doing. So that was an honor. That lasted 5 months. So now I'm at a one-month job, Cirque du Soleil. I would say entertainment is the most fascinating thing that I've ever brushed up against. Because I was an extra in a movie. I was an extra on a commercial, a Subaru commercial with Paul Hogan. Crocodile Dundee. That was awesome. I met Jerry Lewis at his when he was 72 years old. It was like 1995. I was in community college. One of my professors told us about it, so we did a little field trip. And I met Jerry Lewis after the show, meet and greet, shook his hand, and I've been on a set. A talk show host set with Fran Dresser's premiere of a couple of her shows, not a premiere, but a pilot for a daytime talk show called The Talk, TAWK. That was pretty fascinating. So I've met John Voight, awesome guy. And I'm going to talk about John Voight on one of my podcasts also, but I'm just waiting for the correct time. John Voight is an awesome American patriot, and he started out as a radical when he was in his 20s, back during the Vietnam War, and he said that he was just doing what all the other kids were doing, and after a few years, he realized what was going on, and he had a change of mind, and this was during an interview, and I actually have it recorded, and he wept a little bit, choked up a little bit on something else he was talking about an older woman that couldn't speak English. He saw on the plane, an airplane that he had a flight on, and she thanked him for being who he is and sticking up for America and fighting for the Constitution. And it made him weep while he was answering the lady and said thank you, and it he said he choked up and he couldn't help it talking to what's his name, Mark Levin, on his Sunday show. And it's a fascinating moment, so I want to play that clip on a future show because of the moment. It was awesome. And every guy knows that no guy likes to see another guy cry. So when I don't know if you've ever noticed, but whenever another guy sees another guy cry, he kind of gets a little teary-eyed too. It's almost like listening to the Star Spangled Banner at a game. You get teary-eyed no matter when people salute the flag, or when a funeral procession is driving down the street and you stop and you take your hat off and wait until the whole funeral session passes by you. And things like that makes the guy tear up. And those things make me tear up almost just talking about it. But so what job? I just went on a rant. So TaylorMade. So now I'm at Cirque du Soleil. To backtrack a little bit. Entertainment. I love entertainment. But most of all, my goal is to preach the gospel to every creature on the earth. You're Jerusalem first, and then Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And I began that in 1989 when I came back to the Lord. I backslid from 14 to 24 years old. 10 years I backslid. And I came back to Jesus. But Cirque du Soleil is awesome. If you know somebody who's in San Diego, or you're planning on coming to San Diego, you get your tail over here. You get your tail to see Cirque du Soleil. It's the show called Volta. They have a guy. They don't have a clown. They don't have animals. They have sort of a host of the show, or a ringleader of the show throughout the show, Mr. Wow. And then they have some guys on rings, swinging on rings. They have a lady with her hair tied up in a decorative hair gadget to a cable, and she swings in the air all around the stage and does a Chinese act. I think it's China. It could be Singapore. It almost reminds me of either Singapore or China, but it's an Asian act. It's awesome. It's spellbinding. It gives you the chills. Things like that. They have BMX bicycles, and the theme of the show keeps getting more and more and more intense until the encore, when every actor comes around and everybody's on their feet screaming and applauding, because it's 2 hours, two parts, first half and the second half. It's a 2 hour thing. The last part lasts about 35 minutes, and it just gets so intense all the way to the end. It's awesome. You just sit there and pay attention as much as you can. It's funny, it's heartwarming, and they have several themes. It's almost like a movie that has several different people's stories. That's how this is. So you got to see Volta, Cirque du Soleil. It is awesome. It's at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, right on the beach where the turf meets the surf. That's the old song at the old Del Mar. Bing Crosby sang it at the old Del Mar racetrack. That will be, the last day is going to be May 5th, which is also Cinco de Mayo. It's a Sunday. It's the last day. They have two shows on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Next, not 2 days from now weekend, but the following weekend is the last weekend. So I wholeheartedly recommend it. And it's about $50, give or take, for a ticket, because they're always offering discounts. Go online, Cirque du Soleil Del Mar. Keywords, and you'll find it. But that is just a blessing. And all these times, what I'm saying, leading to, is that I get discouraged because I don't know what the next job is going to be. This current job with Cirque du Soleil, I did ushering for the week and a half, and the or three weeks, 2.5 weeks, and the past few days I worked in the their mobile kitchen. It's awesome. It's like Mel's Diner, and it's a mobile kitchen. They part of it is tent. You have a deck, wood deck outside with chairs, inside chairs. Espresso machine, coffee machines, honey, mustard, syrup, everything for whatever you want to use it for. Jam, jelly, French bread, toast, juicer machines, the whole gamut. So I've been dishwashing and keeping the dining area straight out. It's fun. So, lo and behold, I've only got this weekend and the following weekend, and I get a call today for a permanent job from a temporary job service, but they call it a reoccurring ticket or attempt to hire. You know, there's different terms that are in the temporary job agents, but that's like a new thing, 21st century job market. You got to roll with the flow, and it takes faith. It takes a lot of faith. And that's what I want to get into on this broadcast. Wow, I'm just jabbing. 28 minutes. I've got 45 minutes total. I got about 15 more minutes. But faith, so I accepted that, and I called up the supervisor at this new job and said, hey, I'm sorry, but I wish I could have stayed, but I can finish this week. And we agreed that I'd work the following 2 weekends also into the last day, so that's pretty good. This job, it's Monday through Friday, the first shift with a sausage manufacturing company, machine operating. Can you believe this is like temp to hire? Now, and nowadays with temp to hires, people are working for the temp company for 3 years or 5 years, give or take, before the company actually brings you on full time, because they're a long-standing company, and if they see longevity with their help, they hire them, and then you get all the benefits and stuff. So I've met a lot of people who have done that, and I've met people that have achieved those full-time jobs, getting to work by bus and train and trolley from various parts of San Diego County. And they're at rock bottom. Temp services are you are working with people who are at the job force's rock bottom. Next to that would be homeless, living in your vehicle. And some of the workers are living in their vehicles. So it's so encouraging, and it gives me hope that people are willing to do what they need to do with tenacity and longevity to achieve what is right, because the Bible says that if you don't work, you don't eat. And that's just what us as humans are engineered and built to do. And without work, your mind wanders. Bible says idle hands are a devil's workshop. We all know that to be true. If not, it's in the Bible. So I'm happy. This is my praise report. I am stoked. And I had a quite a good talk with the Lord. I'm constantly praying, you know, pray without ceasing. I'm praying something all day saying, oh, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's praying. Always communicating, always having God in your heart. And even King David commends people who always have God in their heart by what he said. He said, the wicked are not so. They don't have the Lord in their thoughts. Well, us as followers of Jesus, we constantly have the Lord in our thoughts. And we have him in our heart. But I'm so excited. And each time something comes up that is a blessing, I repent of my anxiety and impatience and lack of faith during the time before this answer has arrived. Am I alone out there? Does anybody else do the same thing too? I think so. Yep, I think so. So I did a blog yesterday. I posted it. And sometimes I do the blog before I do my podcast. Sometimes I do the podcast and turn it into a blog, but eventually I have it on YouTube, Spreaker, which this is, and now Podbean, which is awesome, and a blog. So I have every platform except for AM or FM radio or television. So I did the blog, and I got some pretty good response from it, and I'm actually happy with it. I always judge how I did on a blog or a podcast or a YouTube video. So, another praise report. Who believes God for blessed travels? So, I had taken one route to get to work yesterday morning, and if I would have taken a different route, I would have been behind over 12 miles of traffic, but I was moved to take the country road to get to work. And when I got to work, I left an hour and a half early too. But when I got to work, I turned the I was listening to the radio, and the traffic report, they were saying, don't take this route, take the other route. And I was like 45 minutes early for work. And if I would have taken that, even though the other route, I left an hour and a half early, I would have been late for work because it was so bad. So, praise God. And then today, I took the same route home, and yesterday, and there were accidents yesterday on the way home from work, and today on the way home from work. The same route that messed up yesterday morning. So these kinds of traveling mercies they happen with me quite a bit. So thank God, praise God for that. It's awesome. I love those things. So now back to my blog. And by the way, I'm still praying for Sri Lanka. About 300 Sri Lankans were killed in an Easter worship service. And just pray for the world. All these similar things that are happening across the world and in France and the United States. Somebody got caught trying to do a copycat in New York. So keep all that in prayer. Keep China in prayer because they're ramping up their persecution against Christians by offering up to $1,100,000 equivalent in their money for people turning in Christians that have home Bible studies. Turning them in and jailing the people, and they're offering rewards to all the citizens in China. So pray for that. Pray for Israel and Turkey and Syria, because those are the key players, as well as Russia and end time war Bible prophecy. It is all. And I've interviewed my friend Craig C. White about the rapture, the tribulation, and Israel and Syria being attacked from the north. In the north, Gog and Magog is actually two words, ruler and an area, that the region is where Turkey is today. And they have a lot of activity going on in Syria that is very nefarious towards the nation of Syria. And Syria has a lot of veiled threats against Israel, and so does Turkey. So they all hate, even the enemies of each other hate Israel. So keep all that in prayer. So, give me life or give me death, or give me life after death. That's the title of my blog and my podcast. I've been thinking about these parts of scriptures for months. Over and over, I keep thinking about them. And maybe somebody needs this, but read the whole account from 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 21. When all seems bleak and the only thing left to make things worse is to die, that is often when suddenly the impossible and unexpected occurs. And today, praise Jesus, I told you earlier, I prayed with the Lord, a very good prayer for work and provision, my children. And I got this good news today about this new job. So mainly it is the account of the arrows that has been bugging me. But after finally specifically looking this up, I believe it is miraculous that I'm afraid of dying without being fully acquainted with. And I'll say that again. There's a fear in me of dying before I am fully as I could be with God's miraculous. I want to live a miraculous, blessed life. And as well as, like Paul, he knew how to be without, and he knew how to be with. My whole life, I know how to be without. I know how to budget, and I know how to shop. And I've never even lived in my own house and growing up or as an adult. It's always been in an apartment. So I know how to do it out. So I believe it is the miraculous that I'm afraid of dying without being fully acquainted with. And here is this dead guy in the Bible who never would have known, thought, or imagined would or should even happen. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 13 to verses 14 through 21. And it reads like this. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness where he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face, King Joash. And he said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said to him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took to him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." And he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. You shall smite the Syrians and Aphek till you have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Smite on the ground," and he smote three times and stayed. And Elisha says, the man of God was wroth with him, and he said, "You should have smitten five or six times. Then had you smitten Syria till you had consumed it, whereas now you shall smite Syria but three times." And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of Moabites invaded the land at the coming in the year. The coming of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And then the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha. And when he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Praise Jesus. You just never know what's going to happen, right? And so just when you think nothing else could happen, and this man went absolutely past the time of death, and he was able to live some more. This man has no name, didn't say what he did afterwards. It's just a man that was being buried, and they saw, and the people burying them saw some people, so they hid him in a tomb, Elisha's tomb. So praise Jesus, everybody. I want this to be encouragement for you, that no matter how tough things are going, just keep the Lord in your mind. Ask Jesus to come into your life and guide you. The steps of a righteous man, the Bible says, and that includes woman because of mankind. It's not this gender thing going on with the Bible's words, but the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So ask Jesus to come into your life and renew your life with Jesus. Or if it's the first time, ask Him to come into your heart. So God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me.